Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out there on the ferry. It's been a week of the most interesting weather. It started to thaw early in the week, and some of the snow melted even in the woods, and we actually saw mud for a while. And then it all switched around Wednesday night and Thursday, and the mud froze, and we got about a foot of snow. And everything is covered with white again, sort of like you'd change the sheets on your bed. And it's very pretty. But some people are getting tired of winter, of course, but some people are sort of longing for spring and wishing it were here. But you know, there are people in Northern California, folks, who have had spring all of their adult lives. And has this done them any good? I mean, I'm just asking. Take a look, make up your minds for yourselves. Winter is good for you. And if winter lasts a little bit longer than you wish it did, perhaps it's because there is more good to be gotten out of winter. Winter focuses the mind in all sorts of ways. When you're in a warm climate, your mind wanders. You think about your career. You think about whether or not you were happy as a child or things of that sort. These people on daytime TV shows who are talking about their childhoods and how they didn't get the positive reinforcement from their parents that they really needed, and that's why they shot them. These people are not from the North. These are not Northern people. We know that. Winter is good for you, and so many different ways. Winter cures people of self-pity. You learn as a child, if it's cold, don't talk about it because the others are just as cold as you are. Winter is not a personal experience. You learn this by the time you're 7 or 8 years old. Now, when I was a boy, the way that you combated the winter blues was very simple. You went down the basement, you went to those shelves that were behind the washtubs, and you reached up there, and there were all of your mother's canned vegetables and jams and peaches, and there was corn, and there was applesauce and apple butter. And you reached down to the end, and you got a jar of stewed tomatoes. You took that up and you took off the lid and you put some of it in a pan and you heated it up and you put butter on it. And in those stewed tomatoes that you yourself had picked and helped your mother can last August, you found in those tomatoes the courage or sunshine or whatever it was that you needed to buck yourself up and get on with winter and not complain about it. And of course, those were ball fruit jars. Those were ball canning jars. There were always ball jars with Kerr lids in our family. So it always made me want to come to Muncie, Indiana, and sort of the home of the mother church in a way, and to visit here. And then I come here and I find that the Ball Corporation has gotten out of the fruit jar business, which is all well and good until I start to think that there may be children who are growing up not knowing of the existence of ball fruit jars, not knowing about canning. The children are missing out on this. Children, there was a time in my lifetime when everyone all across the Midwest saved their ball jars and filled them up in the month of August. They were sealed and they were put away. And you ate this over the next fall and winter and spring, produce from your own garden. I'm just going to wait a moment, let that sink in. See, nowadays, of course, your parents can go to the produce section of an upscale grocery in town, and they buy everything fresh, December, January, February, March, buy a little carton of raspberries from Mexico, some little blueberries from New Zealand, buy a pack of fresh mesclun salad, hand-picked, hand-selected from 12 different